You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson. Trade it, sell it, they want it. Go online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com, click on the Sell to Us tab, and get a serious cash offer for your bike. Worth Harley Davidson, I-29 just south of the airport, or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Harris to drive, gets to OT, shoots a three. He got it! He got it again! Ochai Agbaji with 6 seconds to go. Shannon for the win. Misses.
Wow.
He got home to Lance at the buzzer. No good. And a second overtime is coming. Ochai Agbaji comes up huge in the clutch.
Kuyu goes up three with 10 seconds to go. Here comes McCullough up the floor. Wilson, they will try to foul. Ahead of Shannon, throws up a three. Misses. Rebound Harris. And Kuyu's going to win it. Cardiac Kansas does it again.
And now, a man who wishes we had something to talk about. Oh, wait, we do. Saran Petro.
Right you are, Jed. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio. 810 WHB, thank you for joining us here in the program. The big man, Curtis Siebold, is off today. Todd Lebo filling in, kind of, sort of, here a little bit, you know, right? Like, early and often, Leibs is around. Todd, how are you, buddy?
I'm never far away.
You really aren't, to be honest with you, except when you go home. But that's not that often, really.
No. And not that often. I'm always here. Yeah. Anytime Curtis is gone, I can be here. Maybe.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. Sometimes. You know, you're kind of everywhere all the time, though, Todd.
Pretty much. It's what we do. It's this time of year, man. Someone's got to step up and make a play. We got to go do it.
It is. No doubt. Jed Marshall running the operation today. 913-3810-810. I know we left a lot of people hanging. About the game on Sunday night, people beginning to look more and more ahead to the game against the Bengals. We'll take your phone calls. Chiefs, Royals, Sporting, K-State, KU, MU. Always a topic here in the program. And kind of a big, like, just stretch here between what we had, 61 points hung by a K-State women's player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aoki. I should have written it down. I was like, oh, yeah, I got that. But anyway, apologize. Help me out on that, Jed. I want to get this lady's name right. Yeah, it's all right. I can Google. Aoki Lee. Aoka Lee. I apologize for any mispronunciation. But hang 61 points. Then we get a absolute barn burner between KU and K-State. Then we have the AFC Championship game. Then we get a double overtime with Kansas. We still have KU-Kentucky to go. We have the AFC Championship game. And, oh, by the way, tonight K-State is taking on Baylor in a game that's really important, as they almost beat the Jayhawks. If they can get a win against Baylor and I think play 500 basketball in the Big 12 Conference, I think you're talking about a team that's got a reason. You got a fan base that's got a reason to watch the selection show on Sunday. I think 500 in the Big 12 might get them in. 500 with a win against Kansas or Baylor might very well get them in to the NCAA tournament. They're in the low 50s now in the KenPom, so something to keep your eye on. Mizzou, big double-digit dog against the number one team in the country, but it is an opportunity as they play the number one team in the country. So a lot going on in the world of sports. We'll talk to College Hoops with Gary Parrish in the 5 o'clock hour. A lot of football in the 3 and 4. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus at 3. Tim Grunhardt at 4. We do open with a little Kansas basketball to start. Let's open with some of the news first, and then I'll make my way to Kansas basketball, and then we want to get into the Chiefs. The news today, I think locally, biggest news, Ryan Poles being hired by the Chicago Bears. It's my understanding that the Bears outbid the Vikings. It looked like he was going to be a Minnesota Viking. They were the front runner. The Bears said, whoa, hold my beer. Let me get in there. And they said, hey, we will, you know, we'll make this happen. Here's the deal. Poles ends up signing on to go to the Bears. We wish him nothing but success. The NFL finally, you know, maybe starting to get the numbers of minority candidates up. And Ryan Poles, certainly a great resume here with the Kansas City Chiefs, gets hired by the Bears. That means 2 third-round draft picks. We'll call them thirds. I have no problem with calling them thirds. Let's be clear. They take the spot of what in previous years' picks would have been fourth-rounders,
mm-hmm.
because it's at the end of the compensation picks, which there are there 32 every year?
I think it just varies.
And they just spread them out to where it is?
I think it just depends on how many things happen. I mean, if a whole bunch of people get hired, I think there can be more. I think it has to be that way. I don't think there's always just 32.
No. 32 compensation picks from free agency. Because the GM head coach compensation picks come after the player
even.
Free agency
okay, yeah.
compensation picks. So you've got 96 real picks. And then you've got the highest a compensation pick can be as a third rounder, right? That'll go to seconds. And I'm not sure. I'm thinking there might be 32 total player compensation picks sprinkled amongst the third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. Seventh rounds, third through seventh. I can't remember. Anyway, but so after those, whatever third round compensation picks are, then you slot in order, if there are lots of them, say there'd be a number of, minority candidates hired, and so a number of teams are getting those draft picks. They then go in order of where you were in the draft. So the Chiefs are going to be down towards the bottom of any compensation picks that are going to be out there. But they'll get two right now for Ryan Poles, a 22 third, or what, I mean, that's what it'll be called. But
right.
Where it's going to be picked is really what would have been previously, you know, the first couple of picks of the fourth round. And they'll get a 23 third. If they do lose Eric Bieniemy, they get an additional third pick for compensation. So lose one guy, you get two. Lose two guys, you get three. And so that's something to watch for. As you know, Andy Reid tells us he thinks Eric Bieniemy is going to get hired. So that would mean the Chiefs would be looking at another one. I do think, Todd, that's significant from the standpoint that the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, have fired a lot of draft picks.
Mm-hmm. They
right?
need some bodies, yeah.
And they need cheap guys, and draft picks are cheap guys. And by the way, Brett Veach is pretty good. You know, this front office, now they're losing part of the front office, but hopefully Ryan Poles has educated those coming beneath him in the ways of doing things. Brett Veach has educated those coming underneath them in the ways of doing things so that they will still be good at it. But I know the one thing is, if you're pretty good at it, the more picks you have, the more likely you are to hit on some Trey Smiths. And so this, to me, is it's not great to lose your front office, but it speaks to a belief in what the Chiefs are doing being more than just Patrick Mahomes, doesn't it? I mean, you could kind of make that case that it's like, you know, they're not taking Bieniemy. They're not taking anyone from Brett Veach's front office. I mean, what, Steve Spagnuolo's not going anywhere. We're not seeing any of the position coaches get coordinator jobs. So, like, where's the real belief? It's all Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in the eyes of the NFL industry. That would be the conclusion I think you would have to, you know, say is at least the strongest answer to why that's not happening. Now that Ryan Poles has been poached by the Bears, it's a statement that, no, what the Chiefs are doing is more than just those two individuals. I take it that way. Do you?
Yeah, and, you know, gosh, how many years ago was it that Chris Ballard left too, right? I mean, so they've had some guys who were, you know, part of building things. But, you know, they don't want guys who haven't done much. And it took Ryan Poles some time, right, to be under the tutelage of these guys. So you got to get a little bit of a resume going. And when the team has things going well, and honestly, I'm guessing this last draft has probably helped a lot of people in the Chiefs front office look a little better. Because they're kind of – sometimes they have some really amazing draft picks and kind of like whole drafts, and sometimes they're not so great. And this one looks awesome, right? Your first three picks that you had are Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton, and Trey Smith was a sixth-round pick. So your first two picks and the trade they made for Orlando Brown, which ends up being your one, they had a really, really nice offseason. So I think in the immediate future – that makes anyone who had their fingerprints on that look good to someone else.
Oh, I agree. I think, you know, the fact that Brett Veach is reported to have not run down, but was on the field of the Super Bowl catching Patrick Mahomes before he's coming off the field saying, hey, we're going to get this offensive line fixed. That's like calling your shot, right, with the guy that matters most, the guys they're going to keep upright. And eventually that story leaks out. And then to go out and do it and deliver it. Everyone that was involved in that process, I think their star shines brighter.
And to do it multiple ways, right? They traded for someone. They spent big money on Tooney, and then they drafted a couple of guys. And then they've just made it work at right tackle with lots of different bodies. So they've done it. It's like a little mix-mash of how to get it done.
But even Lucas Niang, you know, was a draft pick and was a rookie draft pick.
Right.
And so, you know, you had to wait a year to find out that, oh, no, they knew what they were doing then. And who knows, maybe Lucas Niang would have been enough to handle the ball. I don't think so. But, you know, it certainly would have looked different if Lucas Niang had played the year before. So and they've done all this while battling COVID, like the rest of the league, but succeeding with even more hurdles to clear. And I've talked to some people, you know, this has been that offensive line is certainly part of why Ryan Poles is there. I would think that, you know, the guys on the scouting side, Brant Tillis, or on the cap side, like Brant Tillis, who does a lot of the contracts and the cap, that his name would be shining a little brighter because he keeps making it all fit, you know, under Veach. And that's the other thing. Let's be clear. Brett Veach's star is shining brighter these days because he's the guy that heads it all up, whether it's, you know, under the guidance of Andy Reid. It's still Brett Veach. That's the top guy over all of that that's going on. I know the whole league is now looking at them and saying, okay, this wasn't just one fluke. You know, they're in their fourth consecutive AFC championship game. Everybody, whatever their role is, they're good at it. Now it's up to these teams to decide, okay, did Ryan Poles have enough of a role that we think he can add on the extra work that goes with it to now run our organization? And I think it's significant that it's not just that he got hired by the Bears, it's that the Bears beat out the Vikings in a bidding war.
Yeah, there's a competition.
Yeah. I mean, this was a hot commodity that was out there, and it speaks to what the Chiefs are. So it's a bittersweet day. It's great for Ryan Poles in his career. It's sad to lose a talented front office guy if you're the Chiefs. It's intriguing to see you're going to get these two extra draft picks. That's a good sign. Hopefully you're going to get a third because Eric Bieniemy is going to finally get his shot as a head coach. And I think that'll be interesting. Initial reports do not have polls as of yet being on putting Eric Bieniemy on his conversation list. I put out there, what does that mean? And of course, everybody's got an opinion because it's a lightning rod topic. I put it out on Twitter. If you want to hit me up on the Twitter at Soren Petro, SorenPetro, could mean nothing. Could mean that he knows Eric Bieniemy forward and backwards. So why wouldn't he quickly try to interview everybody else that he can? Knowing I've got a working knowledge of Bieniemy, and if word gets out there that he's about to sign somewhere, I'll pick up the phone and I'll say, wait, Eric, I want to talk to you. It may mean absolutely nothing. I want to be clear. It may mean absolutely nothing. It also might mean that he's looked at Eric Bieniemy and said, that's not the kind of guy I want as a head coach. I mean, we have to keep that possibility open, don't we?
Well, for sure. But he also hasn't been officially announced and answered any of those questions yet. I mean, none of this stuff is out there publicly yet. So, you know, in today's world, everyone wants to know what's going on right now, this second. They want to know beforehand. Sometimes you just got to let things play out a little bit. And I think in a situation like this, you absolutely have to kind of let it play out. There's still football games going on. You know what I mean? Now, in Chicago, they don't care that there's football games going on. They want their GM. They want a head coach. But in Kansas City and Cincinnati and Los Angeles, I guess they probably care in L.A. I don't know. It's tough to tell if they care out there. But I know Niners fans certainly care. There's a lot of other things happening besides these coaching deals. And there are people probably in all four of these organizations that are coveted by other organizations because we've seen, and we just had another one to the list today. Apparently, you know, Sean Payton is stepping away and,
right,
and orchestrating something to get a job probably in Dallas in a few years. Who knows exactly what he's up to. But there's a whole other organization that's going to kind of get put up into turmoil. And we dance this dance about every other year or every 3 years for 10 years in this town. And it's no fun. And you just want to know what's going on. I remember the insane waiting game when the Chiefs hired Todd Haley. It was after the Super Bowl. I mean, it took
first of all
forever.
I'm going to object. It is fun, right? Like, it's not fun to have a losing team, but when all these shenanigans are going on,
yeah, it's good times. Yeah, I get
it's entertaining as hell.
But
okay,
but you'd rather be the Chiefs the last 7 years or 9 years.
Yes, yes. But to your point. This to me, these are the important times in the NFL, making these decisions. You know, from now until, I really believe from now until mini camps, you know, coming through the draft, that's when GMs are going to make or break. Like, make no mistake about it, Ryan Poles has got to figure out what to do at quarterback. Does he stay the course with Justin Fields? He doesn't have a lot of draft picks because they used ammunition to go up and get him. I think the Vikings job might have been a more attractive job, to be honest with you, because of what the Bears have spent and the fact that you inherit Fields. You know, it's pretty much the same thing Matt Nagy inherited, a quarterback that's, you know, kind of a disappointment right now, but that you invested highly in, and the town thinks is just you hiring the right coach away from being Patrick Mahomes, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the greatest job ever in the world to go there, and you're missing draft picks. So, you know, I think that will be interesting to see. So
I think
it is the most fascinating time in the NFL.
I think he probably likes Fields. Otherwise, you'd pass on it. I think you're right there. You don't, just because you get a little more money.
Unless, as I understand it, the Bears offered a lot more money.
Well, if it's a lot more, maybe you'll take your chance and know that you can always go draft another one. But I don't think you want to, you know, make your life as an organization drafting a quarterback number one like 5 times in 7 years. That means you keep failing. Now, he hasn't failed at all because he hasn't picked one of them. But I would think you got a little bit of belief in Fields if you think that's a place you'd go, which is one of the things that I've been thinking about with Eric Bieniemy for years. Don't go take a job just to take a job. You don't want to go take a horrible job with an awful ownership group and no quarterback. You know what I mean? You want to go take a job that looks like you have a chance to succeed. You know what I mean? So, like, I thought the best job last year that was available was a Chargers job because I thought Herbert was a really good player. And I think that's a decent enough organization. I mean, it's not the Chiefs, okay? It's not that ownership group. But I think there's something appealing about maybe being second fiddle in the town. Maybe not as many eyeballs are on you while you learn and grow. I don't know. But I thought that was the job last year.
Which one?
Was the Chargers job. I thought that was the one was that the looked Chargers like job, okay. A place to go win. You could go out there and you can make them better immediately. Now, Staley's done a nice job. They didn't make the playoffs. So they didn't do that, but I thought they made a little bit of a step forward. Who knows where it's going to go? But, I don't know what you'd have to pay me to work at Washington with that owner. You know what I mean?
Oh, agreed. Agreed. Listen, and you know, I think you want to – you definitely want, you know, the best job you can possibly get, but at some point, if you're not getting offers anymore
– Yeah, you got to take
if
one.
If you keep saying no, they quit offering you.
Exactly.
And then you may have to take, like, I don't think Vic Fangio thought the Broncos job was an ideal job. I think it was the only one that was offered to him. I don't think David Culley thought the Texans job was the job, and right. He was 60-something years old when he got the job because he had been picky. It's the only one that was offered to him. And at some point, you have to say, okay, I've got to give it a go. I mean, my job's going to be twice as hard, but if I'm twice as good, then I can turn chicken crap into chicken soup and make it go. And I think Eric Bieniemy may be at that point.
Yeah, there's but he's probably getting to that point. He's where it's gonna you have to take a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear, there's what now we started with was it 8 head coaching jobs that were open? New Orleans makes it 9.
I think that's
if I'm
right.
Not mistaken, that were available, because I thought I remember 3, 3, and 2, the way they were kind of stacking them up on some board, that it was 8 when you count the Raiders job in. And the Raiders job is open, and the guy who's the interim is just one of the stronger candidates.
Yeah,
for
there
it.
Are 9 now, yeah.
But that's all right, there are 9 jobs. Let's be clear. If 9 jobs pass on Eric Bieniemy, one of which is a guy that worked in the front office that's worked with him directly, there's a flaw in the candidate.
I think you're right, because there were 7 last year, right? Now you're looking at and he had 7 interviews or something. You're like half the league says no. Then there's something that they don't want him to be your guy.
And again, David Culley is an incredibly respected coach, but they said no on him until he was 60 some odd years old. Nobody even gave it a thought.
And then I thought he did a pretty nice job and he got fired. So
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too. So I mean I do think that this is of note, right? Like that needs to be written down. That isn't 1 or 2 coaches, and you know, it's like a large portion of the league over the last 4 years have said, "No, you're not the guy." Oh, and some guys are just meant to be assistant coaches, right? Like, not everybody gets to be president.
Dude, there's no shame in that. I've said for 2 years about Eric Bieniemy, he has a great job that thousands of coaches would love to be. The offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL with Andy Reid teaching you what's going on and with this bag of tricks to play with, right? What a great job he has. Now, I think he wants to be a head coach. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep taking these opportunities. So it's certainly been disappointing that he hasn't gotten I don't know if he's ever been offered a job, you know, because we don't really know. This stuff's not like just public record. This isn't some thing where you can just read that it happened. But if he had been offered a job, he hasn't taken it, and he hasn't certainly been offered some jobs that I think he'd like to take. So he definitely wants one, or you wouldn't go try to get one if you didn't want one. I don't think he's out there trying to get a head coaching job offered to leverage more money out of the Chiefs as the OC. That's not the way it works at this level. But he wants to do it for sure. But it was very disappointing last year didn't happen for him. If it doesn't happen this year, I think that's where we are. Like you said, there's something that the league, because it can't be, it only takes one, but if like 16 or 18 or 20 of them out of the 32 say no, maybe it's time to look in the mirror, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And now Sean Payton is available. If you were to hire him in this go-round, you're going to end up having to come up with draft pick compensation for him. But this just, I mean, Bill Parcells is his mentor. Is this not just Bill Parcells? I don't see the quarterback. I got to find where the quarterback is. And you said it. I mean, he has a relationship with Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is, you know, he's been the apple of Jerry Jones' eye before. There were rumors about him going from New Orleans to Dallas 4, 5, 6, I don't know, maybe it's been 8 or 9 years ago that he was maybe going to be headed there. And that seems like the most likely destination. But who knows? Maybe this is the Raiders' big splash. You know, I would think if you're Sean Payton and you're walking away,
you're not going someplace
that doesn't have a quarterback, are you?
You're not running a Derek Carr.
Well, I mean,
and to beat your head against Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert for, you know, 4 times a year, I don't think you want to do that either. I think, listen, they're all great jobs. And there's something great about the Raiders' job. It's a great new stadium. And, you know, it's a crown jewel-type franchise in the league, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, dude, AFC West does not look easy. There ain't no free rides out here. So
no, but so where, if you're Sean Payton, where do you have your eye?
I think Dallas is the spot.
You've got a shot.
I think Dallas is.
Anywhere else, though?
Maybe just sit for a year. Maybe they've kind of worked it out to where he's going to sit for a year. That way there's not the compensation point with the Saints. I don't know how his contract's structured. Jacksonville, if you believe in Trevor Lawrence. Now, that ownership group, that Shad Khan, I wouldn't want any part of that guy. He doesn't know what he's doing, I don't think. And I don't think these coaches who are creatures of habit want to go to London 3 times or whatever they're talking about when the pandemic's finally over, playing those games. I don't think that's appealing to some of these coaches, but that's a place with a young quarterback if you like him. And I don't know what Sean Payton's like,
if he likes the
weather or anything like that. But
how about if you like Tua, Miami?
Mm-hmm.
How about if you think you can talk Deshaun Watson into staying Houston?
Yep.
I think those could be compelling spots
absolutely.
To land ultimately. If you like Fields, Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
if you're Ryan Poles and you want to recreate your Andy Reid, it doesn't get any better than Sean Payton, does it?
Who chose to sign Taysom Hill to the big contract, though? Was that Sean Payton? He's got his fingers on that.
He's the personnel guy. Like, if you like Sean Payton, but maybe he's recognized the error of his ways.
Well, no doubt. He pulled the ripcord and got out.
Ugh. Yeah, he's fueled a lot. My understanding is he's fueled a lot of the personnel decisions that have gone on down in New Orleans that put him in cap hell, that made it to where they really couldn't field a roster that was, you know, good enough to be much more than just, you know, kind of good. But I will point out, you know, we've finally seen him without Drew Brees, and it's not awful. You know, cap hell and Winston to Taysom Hill to what the hell is the Bronco cast-off guy's name? Trevor Siemian. Jed. Yeah, Trevor Siemian, and you go 9-8. I mean, I know he can coach. I know that. So, I don't know. It's fun. It's the best time. It's the carousel in the NFL. We watch it closely. The Chiefs losing. Another member, I'm glad you brought up Chris Ballard because, yeah, he has been gone for quite a while. I always heard that Ballard was never going to be the guy in KC. It was never going to happen.
Yeah, but it's not now.
Know, that's one of the reasons why.
By the way.
No, but I mean – because he left, you remember he left before Dorsey?
Right.
And everyone said,
man, was the guy.
They should have, if they were going to do this, he was never going to be the guy, was what I was told. So
on their year ender that he did, it was an hour and a half long. I saw
who
part
did,
of
Ballard?
Ballard, year ender, because it ended, I mean, obviously they failed. They fell apart. They lost to Jags. Dude did an hour and a half in front of the media talking about how they jacked the whole thing up. Pretty compelling if you're a Colts fan. I couldn't watch the whole thing, but it probably deserved 5 hours. How do you go lose to Jackson?
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we'll take a break. We'll take your phone calls, 913-3810-810. Chiefs news happening today, NFL news happening today, college basketball, big game last night. I'm going to get into that. We'll take your calls, 913-3810-810. Hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Soren Petro, SorenPetro. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Hell no. Okay, that answered your question.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You listen to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll take your phone calls here in 1 second. 913-3810-810. Kansas Jayhawks, 94-91 winner. Double overtime. Todd, did you ever think that Texas Tech was going to win the game?
No.
No, you didn't.
Mm-mm.
I thought down five. I actually did. I mean, usually I have that like, okay, how's you know the Jayhawks going to get this done at Allen Fieldhouse? I actually did down five. I always look at you know most people are like, oh, don't worry, Bill Self will figure it out. I get it. He usually always does. But I mean, there are times I look at the teams and I'm like,
dude,
I don't know.
The building figures it out. It is in. I have seen so many teams go over there and be up or whatever, and it's just so rare that someone. I mean, Chris Beard had a great Texas Tech team a couple years ago who went to the Final Four. I don't think they won there that year. I mean, it's just hard.
No one does.
You just don't do it. And the amazing thing is, like, Ochai was great, right? He hit the three and all that. Texas Tech had been playing smart basketball all night long. Dude goes down, just chucks up a 26-footer. They'd been driving to the hoop. They'd been getting. And they had all kinds of time. This wasn't like they had 3 seconds to get the ball up the court. You just lose your head as an opponent in there, and you do dumb things near the end. I did. There was a kernel of doubt that they were going to win. I think you're right at five, but they just, you know, they just grind it and they make plays. And that's why they're so good. They easily could have lost their last three games.
I will give.
And they won them all.
If I'm. Maybe not Bill Self, but maybe somebody in the KU administration. Are you a little pissed at the whiteboard up in the air and that Tech?
Saw the sign.
Yeah, what's his name? Adams. What's the Tech's coach's name? Mark Adams.
Mark Adams.
You know, like, I think he has sat there on TV and said, how do these teams keep getting beaten on these backdoors and these lobs off these timeouts and inbounds plays all the time? Like, how does this always happen? And it was not only the whiteboard thing, was not only to remind his team, but was his advertisement for the rest of the league. Stop letting this guy do this to you, you stupid fools. Like, would you, like, it's coming. And I almost felt like, I was like, you know, and they clearly had prepped, and I felt almost like, you know, Fran Fraschilla was the messenger. You know, like, he kept, here it is, and then they'd show a shot of it, like, reminding every coach out there who, you know, Big Monday, every Big 12 coach is watching that game.
Right.
Oh, so this is what he does. He stops getting beat by the lobs, and, you know, I mean, easier said than done, but I was kind of like, oh, man, that's kind of cold.
It was pretty unusual at Allen Fieldhouse, because there are plenty of people, the refs and blah, 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 and all that, whatever. It's not the refs. It's the players. It's the building. It's the fans. It's all the stuff together. It's combined. It's a perfect storm to win almost every game you play. But, like, they lost a couple of reviews, which was, like, the goaltend was very close, and they didn't get that. And then when Ochai had his hand out of bounds, I didn't think they were going to be able to actually see it, and they were able to get that just barely like a fingernail out of bounds. Like, well, dude, Kansas not getting the whistle here for a second, you know? So that's when you're like, wow, they're really going to lose a game.
Yeah, but
they just don't lose a game.
Right, they don't. But I do want to point out, they didn't get the McCormick. Goaltend, but then they got it the other way.
Yeah, I think the other one was easier. It was a nice.
I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why it only took him like 8 seconds to check the other one out.
But here's the thought: why are we reviewing goaltends?
It's ridiculous.
Make the call and let's go.
I think it's supposed to be the spirit of that rule is to review if someone actually touched the ball on the rim or something, not like did they block it that way. I mean, college basketball can get out of its own way. We know that.
I agree. And then the last thing is I will say that if they didn't come up with the video on whether Obagi was out of bounds, and I thought it was a late call to call him out of bounds, kind of like the guy's like, wait, I think his hand was out. Yeah, his hand was out. Tweet. Mm-hmm. Cause like, it was like almost 2 seconds later when he finally blew the call. But the call was right. He was out of bounds.
Right.
And once you make that call, if you don't have obvious proof, then you stay with the call. And let's play ball.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. I don't get it. But, yeah, I actually think it's kind of a dysfunctional team that is 17-2 and number five in the country. And I think there's ability for them to be a lot better. That's what should scare the hell out of the rest of this league is I think Kansas has the ability to be a lot better than what they are
I guess
are
they
right
could
now.
Have lost four. When was the Iowa State game? They last second shot to win that one. They had the Braun three in Norman. They had the amazing comeback in Manhattan. And then they had this one. But that's what they do. The rest of the league is like, they're not very good, and then they just win the league.
Four out of five. They won 62-61 against Iowa State. They hammered West Virginia.
Right, they won that one.
67-64 at OU, 78-75 at K-State, a game that Bruce Weber and the Cats just leaned at the tape at about the three-minute mark. And then Texas Tech last night in double overtime, 94-91.
Yeah, wow. Then they got Kentucky coming in. And that's a big one Saturday, for sure.
Yeah,
be fun.
No doubt. All right, 913-3810-810. Let's get to the calls. We'll start with Brother Patrick. Patrick, how are you, brother?
I'm blessed, thank the Lord. Thanks for taking my call. Let me begin by saying, no, I never heard a game like this in here Sunday night, the one we won. I was listening to the game with my son here, and he said, oh, it's over. It's over, old man. It's over. You can't do nothing. And how many seconds we had, and Mahomes got us in field goal range. We tied it. Then we went all the way with the when we got the kickoff. Bill Moss says you always get to take the kickoff, especially when you're trying to get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But I want to say it's just so hard to get there. Mr. Rogers, great quarterback. He got there once. Dan Marino back in the day, great quarterback. Got there once, never got there again. So it's just hard to get there. And one other thing I was going to say here, I believe for Eric Bieniemy, I hope he gets a job, but someone said it looked like he ought to go and coach in college to get experience. Well, I can understand why he's going to do that. You leave the big league, you might not get here no more. So I wouldn't go back to college either. So this game here, Sunday, we got to be real tough on the quarterback like we did the ones we played. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Appreciate it, Brother Patrick. And yeah, listen, I'll say, but the one thing about Eric Bieniemy, though, if you go the college route, I mean, Mel Tucker was in East Lansing 2 years and they gave him $95 million. I mean, 2 years. $95 million. I mean, there's good money in those college ranks, right? That's one thing that I think is significant is like, okay, if you want to be in the NFL, if you don't want to mess with the recruiting, you know, Bill Self tells that story about the guy who wants to get into, or Gary Parrish told us the story about Bill Self, about the guy coming up to him and wants to get into college basketball. He says, well, what do you love? I love coaching. I just love coaching. He said, well, then go be a high school coach or an NBA coach because 90% of what I do has nothing to do with coaching. Like you don't like, and I think that's true. There's a lot of administrative crap that comes with being a college coach. Jack, you're in the program. What's going on, Jack?
Hey, Seren, sounding good on the radio today, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
You know, I'm glad I wait till Tuesday to call sometimes because Monday I was so hyped up on emotion after that game. But even as the dust has settled, Seren, I think there's no doubt. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes is the greatest player of all time. I'm not saying he will be, but I don't think anyone can doubt he's certainly on a trajectory to be one of the, if not the greatest, NFL player of all time. Regarding Cincinnati, you know, I kind of think we took our foot off the gas in that game up in Cincinnati. And if you watch that final drive, there was a convergence of about five factors that had to break in the Bengals' way. I don't think that happens again. And you and I might disagree, and that's okay. I like the Chiefs by double digits fairly easily in this game. And the last thing I want to mention, I really want to get your feedback. You and I both know, Seren, what's going to happen in this offseason when it's baseball season and everything starts slowing down in the sports world. Every hot take show in America is going to plaster up on the screen. You know, who would you take, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes? And if I were Josh Allen, the first thing I would do is I would study the career of Cam Newton. Because I think from a health standpoint, if they don't make radical changes in Buffalo in terms of load management carrying the ball, I think he's headed down that route. I have great respect for Josh Allen, but, you know, Cam Newton looked invincible first few years in the NFL, and Josh Allen's body looks invincible. But you do not remain invincible in the NFL. And of all the future opportunities the Bills think they have, they're going to need to subtract 1 year because I guarantee you he's going to be out 1 year. And my last point in the comparison of Mahomes and Allen is this. If the Chiefs win on Sunday in a game in which they're substantially favored, if they win in the Super Bowl in the game which I anticipate they'll be substantially favored, that means Mahomes has been to four AFC championships. He'll be 3-1, three Super Bowl appearances, and winning two. And after all this hype, Josh Allen will be 0-1 in the AFC championship. And to me, Seren, that is a huge chasm. That is a huge separation between these two quarterbacks. I just want to get your feedback on that, man. Good to talk to you.
All right, good to talk to you, Jack. And I will tell you, my feedback is I sent this out Sunday night. I said, watching Tim Hasselbeck saying Josh Allen is just as good as Mahomes. What an effing joke. Do results matter? Mahomes delivers in every close game and Allen doesn't. WTF. That was my thoughts on Sunday.
Well, just as one point, though, Allen is 0-2 in AFC Championship games. He's gone twice.
No, he's only gone once. He didn't go this year.
Oh, that's kind of, this felt like the AFC Championship game last week. Oh, my God. Why do they have to play the Bengals this week?
We called it. We called it the AFC Championship.
It was actually the Super Bowl. Honestly,
Lebo wanted me to turn on his mic for that.
I forgot.
No,
listen. It's true.
I think
though.
That's where everybody's mindset is. Yeah, that's where everyone's mindset is. No, but I think it's a great point by Jack. And this is what I would say. Like, listen, is the goal to get as many highly productive years out of Josh Allen as you can if you're the Buffalo Bills? I think it is. Right after you win the first Super Bowl. Right, that's one of the great things that's happened for the Chiefs is they got it done. First of all, Mahomes isn't as big as Josh Allen, so he's not as likely to take the punishment as well as Josh Allen does. I mean, I agree with everything you said about the comparisons to Cam Newton. I think he's a better throwing Cam Newton. And Cam Newton eventually got worn down. And I would say shame on you if you were confident you could get by Patrick Mahomes without running him so much. I think you can. I think you can lighten up on how much you run him and just let him take off and run on the scrambles. Although he's not as instinctive. Either Brian Daboll doesn't create the escape hatches, doesn't create the space to run for the first downs with the patterns that he has for his receivers that are out there, or Josh Allen just doesn't see it as well as Patrick Mahomes does. But Mahomes is incredibly instinctual about when to take off and go and get everything he can and then get down. And I would tell Brian Daboll, stop calling all these runs unless it's a fourth down in the second half, right? Or a touchdown. Let's back off and let's try to save him. Once you've won a Super Bowl, I mean, I don't think people understand how important it was to win in 2019 for the Chiefs. Because if you don't win, your coaching staff, your general manager, your quarterback, all eventually, very soon, if they aren't already in Buffalo right now, are being told they can't win the big one. That was going on here with Andy Reid. He couldn't win the big one. Now, you had a dynamic quarterback that looked so fantastic in 18. That got the heat off of him for a while. But had they not won, if they don't come back against the Niners, and then they lose to the Bucs and they're going again, I mean, people are losing their minds in this town. And I've said it. No, it's not, LeJarius Sneed's fault that they hadn't won a Super Bowl in 50-plus years, if that were the case, by not winning in 19. But he would start to hear it to where it does become his stress. Right? Organizations become infected by the ineptness. I think there's no doubt that the Lions are a sickness. And everyone who gets there gets infected by it. Until you overcome it, it gets hard. The longer it goes,
culture
the harder it is
hard.
To overcome it. Yes.
It's absolutely hard.
Yes.
And that's the
yes.
thing. I mean, the Chiefs were favored to win the Super Bowl last year, right? And they got drubbed. So that's mm-hmm. why, and like we just now put them in the Super Bowl. I agree. I think they're going to win this game pretty easily. I don't think the Bengals are ready for this. And if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, I think they should win the game. But if they don't, then you're like, what now? But they got the one, and that's better than none for sure.
And that takes so much stress and pressure. And once you have the first one, I think the next one's easier. It's not guaranteed. See Aaron Rodgers, as brother Patrick just said, but I do think it's easier because a lot of the stress that comes around with it and the negativity that comes around with not having won it in forever is now gone. That's not the Chiefs. We know this is a championship caliber organization, and so they don't have to carry that kind of pressure into every single game. 913-810-810. Hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Seren Petro. You're in the program.
The program with Seren Petro.
You stand next to me and go, wow, this is a big guy.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, 913-810-810, talking some Chiefs football with Jazzy Jay up next. You're on the program, Jay. What's going on, buddy? Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, there we go. Thanks for taking the call, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, listen, Seren, I rewatched the game last night. They replayed it. And you know what? All this talk about how these guys are equal and they're 1A and 1B. I don't mean 8-10, okay, but the national media. Seren, they're not 1A and 1B. It's Mahomes, and there's a mile between him and Josh Allen. Mahomes was making plays that were a high degree of difficulty, like that pass to Pringle, and there was a little
shovel pass. I think it was on like 3rd and 3, or I don't even know what kind of pass he made. It was spectacular. Josh Allen was making big plays, but they were hitting wide open receivers. I didn't see much spectacular plays like Mahomes' razzle-dazzle that by Josh Allen that Mahomes was making. And there was something else, I guess, irked me a little bit. Nobody wanted, except here in Buffalo, no one wanted to say that that was the greatest game ever. But, Seren, it was. And you know why no one wants to say it outside of Kansas City or Buffalo? Is because it involved Kansas City and Buffalo, not Dallas, not New York, not L.A. Heaven forbid the two best teams played the best game we've ever seen, and they're from small, medium markets, and not Jerry World or New York City or L.A. And anybody that isn't willing to admit that, being a true fan, doesn't really watch football. And that's what it boils down to, because, Seren, we know dang good and well from all the football we watch, that game was the best ever, period. And there's not, I can't even think of a game that's even remotely close. And I'll leave you with this, Seren. Here's what's going to tick everyone off in Kansas City next week. When the Chiefs punch their ticket to go to the Super Bowl and go play the Rams, what's going to annoy us again is the fact that we're going to have to go back on the road to a city that's team is hosting and playing in the Super Bowl, just like Tampa Bay and Tom Brady last year. That really stinks for Kansas City. But you know what? It's always an uphill battle being a Kansas City sports fan. So looking forward to hopefully going to the Super Bowl again. Just kind of want to take your thoughts on some of those things. Thanks for taking the call, Seren, and love the show and your guys' takes.
All right, thank you, buddy, and I appreciate the kind words. And listen, I do think it stinks, and it's, you know, classic that hadn't happened ever, and then it's going to happen back-to-back years potentially against the Kansas City Chiefs. Although, I'll say this, you know, the 49ers outnumber the Rams fans in a regular season game. Why wouldn't Chiefs fans outnumber the Rams fans in a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, hey, they'll be there. I promise you that.
I don't think LA fans are gonna show out. I also, like, you know, I don't want to get caught in, like, you know, way overstating something to try to make a point. I think Patrick Mahomes is better than Josh Allen, and I think it's foolish when people say they're exactly the same. They're not exactly the same, right? They're not. Oh, I'd take either one. Why? I mean, one guy, frankly, let's be honest. I mean, here's what I'd say to people, and I've done a number of different radio shows already this week, and they say, oh, greatest game ever. I said, well, you know, I think it's in the discussion. I'd listen. Like, what do you want to discuss? I said, you know, if you want to tell me, okay, hey, I think there's got to be more defense for it to be the greatest game, and there just wasn't any defense really at the end, okay. If you want to tell me that, you know what, the Chiefs just blew a couple of coverages, that's not great play, right? Yeah, great. Josh Allen hit a guy who was wide open. You know, Josh Allen's not throwing the ball sidearm around guys, left-handed while staying away from Von Miller. Like, he does some exceptional things. He's a great player. I'm fine if you want to say he's the second-best quarterback out there, but he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's not. But he made some plays. Dude, that run he had on the fourth down where he avoided all three of the Chiefs' rushers, I mean, that's a winning play. He did nothing to lose that game, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. That's okay, but Chiefs fans need to just chill about it. Who cares what people say? You got the guy. Yeah. Let the jealousy just be out there. And I think it's beautiful that 43 million people watched that game and 50 million people at one point at market number 34 and 53 because Patrick Mahomes is New York City. He's a major market.
That's exactly how we put it. We said, you know, like, which game is the bigger game? You say, well, you got San Francisco and L.A. markets, but, you know, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is New York City. Patrick Mahomes is New York City. Josh Allen might be Chicago. I mean, he's big. People want to watch him play. He ain't New York City. Patrick Mahomes is the big freaking apple.
Yeah.
He just
is. If you have the Kansas City Chiefs, and so we can't talk about, well, we're small market, but Patrick Mahomes makes the Chiefs must-watch TV. And listen, I'm going to tell you something else. Chiefs fans showing up on the road make it must-watch TV. Like, you help the show. The fact that there are Chiefs fans in the stands on the road games is just a clear indication that there are Chiefs fans in every town, and it helps put the Chiefs front and center on the national stage. Certainly when you're winning here, you're going to get on the national stage. But, listen, I think there's big market bias, and you probably would hear a bunch of New York people say, you know, we heard Adam Schefter's from New York talk about the Bills-Giants Super Bowl. You know, put that up there as one of the great games. I think you'll hear that, but I don't think there's any shortchanging of Patrick Mahomes or how good the Chiefs are as a team and organization.
ESPN
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
Who has the most points by a KU player versus an AP Top 25 team over the last 25 seasons? Great food from Jazz, Louisiana kitchen is yours if you know.